What if a mysterious letter arrived in your mailbox tomorrow, asking simply, who are you? Not your name or job title, but who you really are. This is exactly what happens to 14-year-old Sophie Amundsen in a quiet Norwegian suburb. These cryptic questions, who are you, and where does the world come from, launch her into an extraordinary journey through 2,500 years of Western philosophy. What begins as an ordinary afternoon becomes a mind-bending adventure that transforms how Sophie sees everything, her friends, her world, even her own existence. The genius of this story lies in how it makes philosophy feel less like dusty textbooks and more like solving the universe's greatest mystery. Because that's exactly what philosophy is, humanity's oldest detective story, where the case is never closed and everyone gets to be an investigator. Sophie's transformation begins in her secret garden den, where she contemplates these unsettling questions with fresh intensity. Suddenly, she becomes aware of her own existence in a way she never had before. She realizes she's alive, right now, that she will someday die, and that most people walk through life without ever pausing to marvel at this miracle. Her classmates chatter about makeup and pop stars, while Sophie grapples with profound mysteries. How can something come from nothing? Why does anything exist at all? Then things get stranger. A postcard arrives addressed to Hilda Mueller Knag at Sophie's address, a girl Sophie has never heard of. The sender is Hilda's father, wishing her a happy 15th birthday. Sophie now has three mysteries. Who's sending these philosophical lessons? What do these existential questions really mean? And who is this phantom girl, Hilda? Alberto Knox explains that philosophy begins with wonder, the astonishment of watching a magician pull a rabbit from a hat. We're like that rabbit, living deep in the universe's fur. Unlike the rabbit, we know we're part of the trick and want to understand it. Most people burrow so deep into comfortable fur that they forget to wonder. Only philosophers and children maintain amazement at existence itself. Before philosophy emerged around 600 BCE, humans explained the world through myths. Thunder was Thor's hammer, rain came from his chariot crossing the sky. When crops failed, Norse villagers performed ceremonies hoping ritual would encourage rainfall. Greek philosophers began questioning these inherited explanations. Xenophanes noted something revolutionary. Gods suspiciously resembled their creators. Ethiopians imagined black gods. Thracians pictured fair-haired ones. If horses could draw, they'd sketch equine gods. What if our explanations reveal more about us than reality? As Greek city-states prospered, citizens gained leisure to question nature and society. Rather than accepting Zeus caused lightning, they asked, "What is the world made of? What can we know?" They sought answers through observation and reasoning, not divine revelation. This shift from mythological to philosophical thinking represents humanity's greatest intellectual revolution, embracing questions and following logic wherever it leads. Early Greek philosophers wrestled with a fundamental question: what is everything made of? Assuming something eternal must exist, they puzzled over transformation. How does a seed become a tree, or water become a fish? Daedalus proposed water as the universal source, observing how life flourished after floods and how water shifts between states. His student, Anaximander, suggested the boundless, something more abstract than any created thing. Anaximenes championed air, which compresses into water and earth, or rarefies into fire. Parmenides declared nothing actually changes. Everything that exists has always existed, choosing reason over sensory evidence. Heraclitus countered, you cannot step twice into the same river, seeing constant flux as reality's essence. Empedocles reconciled these views with four unchangeable elements, earth, air, fire, water, that combine like paint colors. Democritus offered the most elegant solution: tiny, eternal, invisible atoms, literally uncuttable, hooked together like Lego blocks to form all objects. When things disintegrate, atoms simply scatter and recombine. This theory elegantly reconciled the philosophical debate. Atoms themselves never change, satisfying Parmenides, but their arrangements constantly shift, explaining Heraclitus's flux. A flower dies, yet its atoms persist, entering new combinations as soil, grass, then rabbit. As a materialist, Democritus believed only in atoms and void, no spiritual forces or divine intervention. Everything happens mechanically through natural laws. Even the soul consists of special, round, smooth atoms that disperse at death, meaning no immortal soul or afterlife. A radical, unsettling conclusion. Democritus's vision remarkably anticipated modern atomic theory, developed 2 millennia later. Without instruments, pure reasoning led him to a model science would eventually confirm. His vision raised profound questions still debated today. If we're merely atoms temporarily arranged in human form, what happens to our sense of self? If consciousness emerges from material processes rather than divine creation, what does that mean for human dignity and purpose? While earlier philosophers studied nature, Socrates redirected philosophy toward human life and ethics. Though physically unattractive, pot-bellied, bulging-eyed, snub-nosed, he possessed extraordinary charisma that attracted devoted followers. Rather than lecturing, Socrates pretended ignorance and asked questions, exposing weaknesses and arguments until people recognized their confusion. Like his midwife mother, he helped people give birth to insights already within them. This technique, called Socratic irony, irritated influential Athenians who found themselves publicly exposed as confused or hypocritical. He compared himself to a gadfly stinging Athens into intellectual life, driven by his divine voice, a conscience compelling him to question and challenge. In 399 BCE, charged with corrupting youth and introducing new gods, he chose death over compromise, drinking hemlock surrounded by friends. His revolutionary belief? He who knows what good is will do good. Right insight naturally leads to right action. Unlike sophists, who believed ethics were socially constructed, Socrates insisted that distinguishing right from wrong lies in human reason itself, universal, unchanging, discoverable by anyone willing to think carefully. Plato was 29 when Socrates was executed, an event that profoundly shaped his philosophy. To preserve his mentor's teachings, Plato established the Academy and wrote dialogues featuring Socrates as the main character. Plato's central question concerned what is eternal versus what changes. While sophists believed morality varied by culture, Socrates insisted on absolute moral truths. Plato extended this thinking. Physical things dissolve, but they're modeled after timeless forms, eternal, immutable patterns existing in a separate spiritual realm. Individual horses die, but the form of horse remains unchanged. We can only have opinions about changing physical things, but we can attain true knowledge of eternal forms through reason. Mathematics fascinated Plato because mathematical truths never change. A circle's angles always sum to 360 degrees. Humans are dual creatures, a mortal body bound to unreliable senses, and an immortal soul that comprehends eternal forms. The soul forgot these forms upon entering the body, but encountering imperfect earthly versions awakens recollection and eros, a yearning to return to its true origin. Plato's cave allegory illustrates this journey. Cave dwellers see only shadows on a wall. When one escapes and witnesses real objects in sunlight, he understands shadows were poor reflections. Returning to free fellow prisoners, they reject his insights and kill him, just as Athens executed Socrates for challenging conventional wisdom. Philosophy offers permission to wonder again. Sophie's journey reminds us that childhood questions, who am I? Why is there something rather than nothing? How should I live? Aren't childish. They're the deepest questions humans can ask, and every generation must grapple with them anew. These ancient thinkers wrestled with mysteries we still face. When we debate whether AI can truly think, we're echoing Descartes. When we question whether morality is universal or culturally constructed, we're continuing Socrates' conversation. Democritus's atoms, Plato's forms, Socrates's ethical reasoning, these aren't dusty curiosities, but living ideas shaping how we understand reality. Philosophy isn't about finding final answers. It's about maintaining wonder. It's about refusing to burrow so deep into comfortable routines that we forget to marvel at existence itself. Every time you question an assumption, you're participating in humanity's oldest conversation. So here's your mysterious letter. Who are you? Not your name or role, but who you really are beneath those labels. Are you ready to wake up and start wondering again?